Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, bringing you an hour of horror. Later on, it's Lights Out from 1943. But first, a story from Edgar Allan Poe featured on The Weird Circle, a syndicated broadcast from 1944.
Past, phantoms of a world gone by, speak again the immortal tale, The Tapestry Horse.
It would seem often that the feuds between the houses of the great are shrouded in mystery and antiquity. However, in at least one instance, that of the neighboring houses of Stenhoff and Luren in Hungary, the beginning of the feud itself was pictured in a great tapestry hanging in one of the upper rooms of the Luren castle. It was hung so that the observer, having looked upon the disgrace of the Stenhoff ancestor, could turn and look from that very room at the glory of the present Stenhoff castle. Once the families had been close friends and had made their homes as close to each other as possible. But greed and jealousy had at least two centuries ago caused a murderous hatred between them. I observed the inconceivable finale of this great feud between these two houses at first hand because of my position as personal servant and confidant to young Master Frederick Luren. In fact, strange things began to happen the very day of the death of Frederick's father. We were standing in the tapestry room.
Gertner!
Yes, Master Frederick. I'm right here, sir.
Oh. Do you hear it, Gertner? Do you hear that bell?
Yes, sir. It's
They're tolling it for his death. They don't know, do they, Gertner, that he lives on forever?
Lives on forever, sir.
Listen to me, Gertner, listen. My father died last night. But I knew it even before they started tolling the bell. I knew it when the last breath left his body. I knew it because he and I are now the same person. His life goes on in my body just as his father's life went on in his. It's been so ever since the first of the Lurens. Our spirit is undying.
It has always been a great house, sir.
Greater than the house of Stenhoff, eh, Gertner? Yes, greater than the Stenhoffs.
Much greater, Master Frederick.
Master Frederick no longer, Gertner. Baron Frederick now.
Yes, sir. Baron Frederick.
Yes, Gertner. Our house is greater. But for one.
The daughter of Baron Stenhoff.
Elsa. Ah, Gertner, I love her. No one, nothing will ever stop my marrying her. Tonight, when I meet her in the garden, I'll tell her that at last I can marry her. For now, I'm the master of Luren Castle.
Very true, Herr Baron. Very true, sir.
You see, Gertner, even the bell knows now that there is still a master of this castle. A powerful master.
Everyone knows, Baron Frederick, that the present Baron is the greatest of all the Lurens.
This tapestry, Gertner, the fight in that scene, it happened almost 200 years ago, and yet it seems that it's still going on.
The Lurens won that fight, sir.
Yes, and the Stenhoffs swore vengeance from then on, even to the last of us, Gertner, even down to me.
And such a hatred, sir, will last until one family is destroyed.
Baron Stenhoff hates me personally, though, Gertner. And he hates me with a deadly hate. Still, today is the day we must meet, he and I. For today, as happens only once a year, the Baron Luren and the Baron Stenhoff meet to discuss affairs of state. Stand by me, Gertner, while he's here. Take stock of what he says.
It wasn't long before the Baron Stenhoff was announced. I noticed during the interview that he looked very often at the tapestry and his eyes followed back each time to the face of Frederick Luren. As I followed his glance, I could see why. The face of the Luren in the tapestry was exactly the face of my master. The likeness and the look of proud superiority were the same. From the moment the Baron Stenhoff entered the room, there was an air of animosity between them.
Good day, Baron Frederick.
Since it is necessary, Baron, come in. The chair here is prepared for you.
I see, so that I may gaze directly at that accursed tapestry.
It's not a favorite of yours, sir, I know that. But it is a favorite of mine, and this, remember, is my house.
You are no more polite, young man, than your father before you.
While my father's body still lies in this house,
Even such a man as you, Baron Stanhope, must feel a duty of some respect.
Never, Baron Frederick, shall I feel respect for a Loren, dead or alive.
Beware, sir. Someday you may be taken as suddenly as he was.
Ridiculous. Well, I'm as strong and healthy as a horse.
As that horse there in the tapestry, perhaps?
That is a tremendous beast, sir.
And like you, Baron, it was a Stanhope.
I doubt that you could ever master a Stanhope horse.
I dare say, sir, I could ride any horse alive.
Someday, no doubt, there will be one that will master you, Frederick.
Let us hope not, Baron. That would indeed be unfortunate for my proposed marriage to your daughter.
My daughter?
In fact, I have already asked Elsa, and she has agreed, pending your consent.
Because she knew you would never have it. Our families were born only to hate and to destroy each other.
That is still true, Baron, but for one, Elsa.
The blood must have weakened in the Loren line, Frederick. You would try to get the mastery of my estates now by marriage rather than murder. I warn you, Frederick. The hatred reflected in that horse's eyes, there in the tapestry, against that murdering Loren, is not dead yet.
200 years ago, a Loren murdered a Stanhope. And the hatred lasts in the eyes of a tapestry horse.
And in the heart of a Stanhope. Have you noticed, Frederick, the face of the Loren in that tapestry? It is your face, exactly.
While you were talking, Baron, I've been looking at the eyes of that horse. Tonight I see that they're really like human eyes, like your eyes, in fact. Strangely like yours.
Perhaps I, too, shall come back after death.
As a horse? No, Baron, remember the prophecy about our families. A lofty name shall have a fearful fall, when as the driver over his horse, the mortality of Loren shall triumph over the immortality of Stanhope. Perhaps if I were to prove that I could ride a Stanhope horse...
Perhaps. Try it. Try it someday, Frederick.
I have never heard a stranger conversation, nor have I seen such looks of hatred upon two men's countenances. This being a tale of hatred can have no definite meanings, for hatred itself, in its very essence, is insidious. Yet I knew there was a very definite threat in the Baron Stanhope's last words. And nevertheless, that evening, Frederick went as usual to the garden of the neighboring Stanhope Castle to meet his lovely Elsa.
Elsa?
Frederick, my darling.
Oh, Elsa, my darling. I was afraid you wouldn't be able to come.
Is tonight different from any other night? I couldn't miss seeing you like this, even if it were only for a minute. Nothing could stop me.
I was afraid that your father would be watching you. I spoke to him today.
You spoke to him about us?
Yes. He was furious. He threatened my life.
Your life?
Oh, Elsa... Elsa, come with me now. Come tonight. We'll be married tomorrow and live safely together. Safe from your father, from all the evil things that he thinks and plans.
I want to, Frederick. I want to so much.
But you shall not, Elsa. You certainly shall not.
Father!
Well, you see now, don't you, Baron, that Elsa wishes to marry me as much as I wish to marry her.
I told you before that that was impossible.
You're an old man, Baron. Someday you'll be powerless to stop us. Then...
Even then, Baron Frederick. Even then, you will not be safe. Watch then, Baron Frederick, after I've died, for your chance to ride a Stanhope horse.
What does he mean, Frederick? Father, what is this?
It's a part of the threat he made this afternoon.
A threat that shall be carried out, Frederick. Wait and see. And now, Elsa, come with me back to the castle.
Baron Stanhope had made his threat again. I didn't realize how much it really affected my master until later that same night. He was sitting in the room in which hung the fatal tapestry. Outside, everything was in confusion. But there, high up in the castle, not a sound could be heard. I knocked on the door.
Come in.
Baron Frederick. Baron Frederick, sir.
Well, Gertner, what's all the excitement?
The stables. The stables of Stanhope. Baron, look out there. Out the window, sir. They're on fire.
What?
Well, is that so exciting, Goodna?
But they're about to collapse, sir. The animals, all the horses, they can't save them all.
It's a just vengeance on Stenov. He loved his horses best of all, Goodna. If he loses them, it's only the first sign that he's going to lose all he has.
You see, they're running wild, sir. All the horses. Look, they're escaping.
It's strange, Goethe, that I should have been here, looking at a horse while this was going on.
The tapestry horse.
Yes. I came into this room because I wanted to look at it again. It's a magnificent animal. Now you see out the window there, Goethe. None of the horses that the present Stenov has is as big or as strong as this one.
Baron Frederick! Look there.
What?
The roofs of the stables have just collapsed. And I saw the Baron run into them just this minute.
Then that's the end of him.
Oh, I know, but look at the tapestry now, sir. Look at it.
What? What about it?
That horse. In the tapestry there. It moved.
No. The light of the fire is playing strange tricks with the figures.
But no, sir. Look. Look there now. His head has turned. He's looking at you, sir. Looking at you now, right at you.
His eyes. His eyes, Good. They're like human eyes. They seem to glow with hate. Good, now look. He's moving again.
And your shadow, Baron. Your shadow. It's fallen exactly over the figure of the man on the ground.
Good, now look out the window there, quickly.
Oh, yes, sir. It is. It is. Running from the ruins of the stable. It's a horse. Exactly like this one in the tapestry. Baron. Baron Frederick. It's coming into your own courtyard.
Quickly, Goethe, quickly. We must get out of here. Down there and catch that beast quickly, Goethe.
Baron Frederick, look!
What? Tapestry horse. It's gone from the tapestry. There's nothing there now but an empty space. Quickly, Goethe, quickly. Lock that door and lock it securely.
When we reached the firelit courtyard, the look of astonishment on the young Baron Frederick's face betrayed to me that he had noticed the same thing I had. The horse now before us was exactly the same beast we'd been watching with such fascination in the tapestry. It had the same enormous fawn-colored body, the same magnificent head, the same eyes.
Good. The eyes. Look at that animal's eyes.
Why, they're almost like human eyes, sir.
The way they look at me. They stare at me as though the beast actually hated the sight of me. They're like the eyes of...
Like the eyes of Baron Stenov.
Goodner.
Look at him, sir.
When he heard that name, Goodner, when he heard that name, he reared up.
Could it be possible?
He believed that his soul would live again in another form. Goodner, look, that animal is standing still, right here beside me. It's as though he wanted me to mount his back.
Frederick!
Here, Elsa, here.
Frederick, Father.
I know, my darling, I know. I saw it all from the window, but I was powerless to do anything.
Hold still now, be quiet.
Frederick, what happened?
He was running toward the barn, Elsa. He ran so wildly, it was as though he were being chased by something. He seemed frightened.
The horses. He loved his horses. He was afraid for them.
He ran right into the barn, Elsa. Right into the flaming barn. Nothing escaped the wreck, Elsa, nothing. Except this one horse.
I've never seen it before, Frederick. It's not one of ours.
But it must have been. It ran from the wreckage of that stable. From that very stable where...
Where Father was killed. Say it, Frederick. Go ahead and say it.
Yes, Elsa, from that very barn.
Look, Frederick. Look. He's standing still beside you. As though he wants you to mount him.
Yes. Perhaps I will. Perhaps I will.
That horse, sir.
And why not?
Remember, sir, the tapestry.
Well, so much the better, Goodness, so much the better. If it really is what we think it is, Think what it will mean.
But remember, sir, remember the prophecy as the rider over his horse.
And now, Gertner, now is the chance to prove that prophecy. Here, hold.
No, Frederick, no. I have a premonition. Don't try to ride him. Don't, please, Frederick.
Oh, now, Elsa, my darling. Look, I'll mount him right around the courtyard here and be right back.
No, Frederick, please.
Oh, why not wait, sir? Wait until the horse has been rested before you try to mount him. The excitement tonight, all that has happened, he may be better in the morning.
Well, perhaps you're right, Gertner. Perhaps. Very well, Stenoff horse. We'll rest you until tomorrow. And then the Lurin, for the first time, will ride a Stenoff horse.
Frederick, the way you say that, almost as though you hated the horse himself for being a Stenoff.
A Stenoff. He's a Stenoff, all right.
Why, it's almost as though he understood every word you say, sir.
Yes, Gertner, I believe he does.
What are you two talking about? What do you mean?
Elsa, these things are not for you to worry about. Tomorrow we will ride. For tonight, the fire is almost burned out now. You'd better go back to your room and get some sleep, Elsa. In the morning. Then we'll see how the prophecy turns out.
Good night, then, Frederick. Good night.
Good night, Elsa.
Shall I take the horse to our stable, sir?
Yes, Gertner, and quickly.
Very well, sir.
Be careful, Frederick. Please be careful. There's something about that horse.
Oh, last night, Elsa, when it was dark and there was only the light of the burning stables to see him by, I'll admit he did look terrifying. But today...
Today he will look just as terrible.
Well, here comes Gertner with him now. We shall see.
He looks like a beast from the Middle Ages.
Yes. They had horses like that then, didn't they?
Tremendous, fierce beasts they were. I've heard Father talk about them sometimes. He seemed fascinated by them.
Your father?
You know he was fascinated by horses. He studied them as though they were a science. Oh, look out!
He'll be all right, Elsa. Gertner has a firm hold on him.
Here he is, sir.
Good. And we're ready, hmm? Watch, then. Watch as a Lurin rides a Stenoff horse. Or is it a jackass? Hold! Hold still there!
Are you still going to ride him, sir?
More so now than ever, Gertner. Here, give me a hand up.
Very well, sir.
There. Hold still. There. Now the Stenoff horse will find a rider... Away we go!
Oh, no! Bring him back, sir!
Frederick! Frederick, stop! He's carrying you off into the woods!
Pull him in, sir!
Frederick! Gertner, what can we do? Go get another horse. Go after them.
It's no use, madame. It's no use. That horse is as swift as the wind. He's carried the Baron much too far to catch them.
There must be something we can do. We can't let them go just like that.
There may be one thing.
What is it?
Well, I'm not certain, but there must be something, some answer in that room.
What room? Gertner... Tell me what you're thinking
of.
In
the room with the tapestry. Come, madame, with me, quickly. There may be an answer there.
Take me there. I don't understand, but perhaps you can show me.
I'll take you to the room with the tapestry. The tapestry that your father hated so much. The one...
The one with the horse in it. Gertner.
That's it.
That horse.
The very one.
That horse. He was like the one Frederick is riding now.
That is why we will go there. Oh, here we are, madame. Here's the room.
Why is it locked?
Baron Frederick ordered it so after last night.
Last night? Did something happen up here last night?
The horse seemed to come alive last night as we watched it in the light of the burning stable.
It's so dark in here. I'm frightened. Gertner, the windows are open and yet it's dark.
It's as though the room were filled with smoke.
Is there a lamp? Something to make more light? Gertner, did you hear that?
Yes, madame, I heard it. We must work quickly. Anything may happen now.
It was like the whinny of a horse. Curtain or a lamp, some kind of a light.
Yes, madame, just a moment. Here. Here's a lamp. You wait until I light it. There's still oil in it.
Hurry, Curtain, hurry. This darkness is awful, like a blanket over the room.
Yes, there you are, madame, there.
At last. Now I can see a little, but it's still dark. Give me the lamp, Curtain. Let me look at the tapestry.
Over here, madame.
Curtain! It's gone! The horse is gone!
He left the tapestry last night, right before we found that horse in the courtyard.
Oh, Gertner.
The lamp, madame. Look out, the lamp. The lamp! Why, it's fallen over.
It's burning. The whole room's afire. Oh. Look there. The flames seem to have leapt all over the walls. Run, Gertner. Run for our lives.
Wait, madame. This way. The door is over here.
Did you hear that, Gertner? Did you hear that noise? It was as though the horse was right there in the room with us.
Yes, sir, perhaps it was, madame. Yes, indeed, I heard it.
Look. Look ahead. The fire seems to have run ahead of us. It's almost at the stairs. The whole castle seems to be on fire all at once.
Down this way. The stairs are still holding. But do be careful.
It's all right so far. Come on. We're almost at the door.
The whole castle is on fire.
Out this way, quickly.
Yes, madame.
There. We're safe now. We've got away. But the whole castle, it's in flames.
Yes, madame. Listen.
It's
a horse coming this way.
Oh, listen, Gertner. Listen. Do you hear? It's Frederick.
And look, madame, they're coming right toward us.
But Frederick, he's not afraid anymore. He's laughing.
And the horse seemed so tame. But look there. It's doing exactly what Baron Frederick commands.
Frederick! Frederick, my darling. Are you safe?
Safe? A lure and safe on a stead of horse? Of course. Whoa,
why, it's amazing. Look there, how the horse obeys him.
And the way he stands. So still.
Almost like a statue. And his eyes, so calm and almost friendly. Oh, here, let me help you down, sir.
All right, Gerda. There. Hey. Ah, hold it. Hold. Whoa, come back here.
Look, he's dashing right into the flames. The horse. He's going right into the burning castle.
Gerda, we've got to stop him. He'll be killed.
We were sure that everything that had been inside that inferno was completely destroyed. Next day, we returned to look over the charred ruins. In some places, there were still little curls of smoke coming from the heaps of refuse.
Surely, Frederick, surely everything is gone.
We will build it again, Elsa. It'll be a greater castle than ever.
We will build it together, Frederick. Build everything together now.
Baron My
Frederick,
darling.
Come. Come quickly, Baron Frederick. There's something over here.
What? What is it, Gertner?
Something you must see, sir.
Gertner, you look so startled. It must be something terrible.
Oh, no, madame, it isn't anything so awful. It's... Look there, sir. Right under that pile of rubble that's still smoking.
Why, it's a piece of cloth.
Yes. It's a tapestry.
It is. Yes, it is.
Here, Gerda. Here, help me. Help me to pull it out.
Yes, sir. There you are, sir.
There.
Unfold it quickly.
Look there. Look at it. Not even one scorch.
In all this blaze, it didn't burn at all.
And look there, sir. Over there in the corner.
Yes, Gertner. I see. The horse. It's back there in its place in the tapestry.
And its expression. It's as though his whole spirit had been broken. As though... Frederick. It is the same horse. The horse you rode yesterday.
Yes, Elsa. The horse I rode yesterday. At last, the mortality of Aluren has triumphed over the immortality of Astaneth. You see, Elsa, you see. Aluren has finally broken the spirit of Astaneth. And it was I, Frederick, who finally did it.
Frederick. Frederick, come with me now. Come home with me. Can't we let these things be? These horrible things. Can't our families be the same?
Yes, my darling. Yes, Elsa, I'll come with you. I'll come. For at long last, the hatred of our families is ended. Now there's only one family, and its name shall be Lúrin.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have brought you the story, The Tapestry Horse. Bellkeeper,
Toll the bell!
The Weird Circle, on Tuned to Yesterday, a syndicated recording from 1944. The works of Edgar Allan Poe adapted often during radio's golden era, between 75 and 80 times from my calculation, and on the Weird Circle series alone, from 1943 through 1944, 10 of his stories were brought to air. You are listening to an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Lights Out, with Art Obler's story, Prelude to Murder, heard on NBC on June 15th, 1943.
Ironized Yeast presents Lights Out, Everybody. Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly but sincerely to turn off your radio now.
This is Arch Obler. Due to circumstances beyond my control, we're unable to bring you the play Alter Ego as planned. I hope we'll be able to present it soon. You know, someone once said that one disease of mankind would never be visible under a microscope, no matter how powerful. The disease, jealousy. And that's our story for tonight, Prelude to Murder. But first, Frank Martin.
What would you give to be able to breeze through your work and really enjoy your fun? Well, if you're short on vitamin B1 and iron, if that's why you're underweight, often feeling jittery and tired out, get ironized yeast tablets. And now, lights out, everybody.
It is said that for every word a man speaks, he speaks another word within his mind that only he himself can hear.
Yes? Yes, what is it? Oh, it is you. What do you want? No, I have not changed my mind. I said I am not interested. I tell you, I do not care if they offer me $1,000,000. My orchestra will not play for those stupid pigs. Goodbye.
Fools. Money, money. They think that is all. My Catherine. I wonder if she...
Andrews. Andrews, come here.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Come here.
I didn't hear you, sir. You called?
Certainly I called. My wife, has she returned yet?
Sweet Catherine.
No, sir. I'm sorry, sir. Madam has not yet returned.
Where can she be? The streets, wet, slippery.
Didn't she say when she would be back? Well, speak up.
No, sir. She apparently didn't expect you home so early. If I might say so, sir, I heard her mention something about meeting Mr. Smith at the art gallery.
Smith? Smith? Who's he?
Smith? What Smith do you mean, Andrews?
That young man, sir. That young artist.
Young artist. I am old.
Oh. That will be all.
Very good, sir.
Young artist. Catherine is young.
Alec. Alec, dear. Are you home?
She's here in a moment.
Catherine. I'm here. Here in the library.
Oh, Alex, I'm so sorry I was late, but I had no idea you were coming home early.
No idea I was coming home early.
I hope I haven't kept you waiting long, dearest.
No, no, I have just returned. You had a good time?
Oh, yes, but I'm tired. This chair feels good.
Her arms outstretched. A young girl. Too young.
And can I use some dinner?
Oh, dinner can wait. You were alone all day?
No. My poor feet. That idiot, David.
David. She calls him David.
Who is David, Catherine?
What did you say, dear?
David. Who is David?
Oh, well, that's Smith, you know, the young artist we met at the Johnsons a few weeks ago.
Young, young.
Oh, you have made friends with him?
Yes, he was here for tea last week, didn't I tell you?
Oh, perhaps you did. I don't remember now.
He's such a silly young man.
Her face, how it is glowing. Her eyes.
Alex, Why are you staring at me like that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of tomorrow's concert.
Come, dear. Sit by me.
Yes, tomorrow's concert.
Oh, Alex, you're all tied up in emotional knots. But you are, dear. What you need is a vacation. Away from box office and orchestra and public. Perhaps even away from me.
From you? No, no.
You mean you want to be away from me?
Well, of course I don't. I want to be with you, to take care of you and watch over you.
Your hand on my face. Daughter's hand, not the wife's.
Poor, poor, tired Alex.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, yes, Andrews. What is it?
Something for you, madam.
For me?
The young man left it, the Mr. Smith.
Smith, what does he want? What does he...
Don't stand there, you fool. Give it here.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's my powder compact. How in the world did I ever forget that?
She was at his rooms and she left it there. No, no, it can't be. I must not think...
Is Mr. Smith waiting, Andrews?
Oh, no, madam. He simply left it with his compliments.
His compliments?
All right, Andrews, go.
Can you imagine that, dear, leaving my compact? I gave it to him to hold for me, and then I forgot about it completely.
Why is she explaining? Why is she...
Oh, yes, certainly. Those things happen.
I really had a good time. It was such fun.
Fun. They're young together.
Well, I'm pleased to hear it, my dear.
He's a very clever boy, Alex. He tells me he intends to make me like modern art, even if he has to take me to every art gallery in creation.
They're going out together again. No.
Oh, Catherine, my dear, what you said before, I'm very tired.
I know it. 3 seasons without a bit of rest, and now all that trouble with your concert master.
I was thinking, perhaps you are right, a little vacation in the South.
Oh, Alex, a vacation? I dreamed of that for a long time.
Her face glowing.
A vacation.
Oh, I can make it glow, too. We will be far away from Smith. Smith.
No, David. David, please stop. Now, I can't laugh anymore.
Oh, but you must hear the end of it. So Little Red Riding Hood said, "What long ears you have, Grandmama." And the wolf said...
Oh, the wolf said...
The wolf said...
there you are, you two. Oh, now, is that nice, David Smith, taking Mrs. Nadova off to the darkest corner of my conservatory? Why, I can't imagine what you two have been doing here. Oh, but it is romantic.
I've just been telling Mrs. Nadova about Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh, why, you naughty boy.
Huh?
Oh, but it's perfectly all right with me. It is romantic here. But don't let the maestro catch you.
Please, don't say such things, Mrs. Crackle.
Oh, why, now, you mustn't get angry with little me. Why, I'm sure I don't blame you. David's just the handsomest thing.
You'll pardon us, Mrs. Crackle. Shall we go, Catherine?
Yes, please.
Oh, you're not leaving.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Crackle, but I'm very tired.
Oh, but the maestro, what... Well, he told me he was calling for you.
Yes, I know. Will you be so kind as to tell my husband I'll meet him at home?
Why, I can't imagine what you two are so angry about. Oh, there's Henry signaling to me. That man is simply lost without me when it comes to making a party a success. But I'll be back in a moment.
I'm sorry, Catherine.
Oh, it's all right, David. Mrs. Crackle's just a very silly woman with a very silly little mind.
I'll go get your things.
No, wait, David. I'll go with you. I should never have come to this party of Mrs. Crackle's in the first place.
That Mrs. Crackle, it should have been Cackle.
Oh, David. Well, that reminds me. You never did finish your story. Whatever did happen to your modernistic Red Riding Hood?
Well, if the truth must be told, she took one more look at the wolf and she said...
Oh, there you are, you two.
Dear.
I was afraid you'd already gone. I have a surprise for you. Here she is, Maestro.
Alex. Oh, how nice you've come for me.
I got away from the rehearsal early.
Alex, you've met David Smith, haven't you?
Smith. What is he?
Oh, yes. Yes, I believe I have.
Glad to meet you again, sir.
Sir. Wants me to look old in her eyes.
Catherine, I hope I'm not disturbing your plans by this early arrival.
Why, of course not, Alex.
Your wife, she's very angry with me, Maestro.
Angry?
I've got a very dark conservatory, and I do manage to blunder in there at the most inopportune time.
Mrs. Crackle.
No, she cannot mean...
I do not understand you, Mrs. Crackle.
Oh, I don't mean anything. I just meant...
Please, Mrs. Crackle. You see, Alex, Mrs. Crackle's imagination is exceeded only by her good taste. I'm sure you understand what I mean. Good day, Mrs. Crackle. Thank you for the very interesting afternoon. Shall we go, Alex? Come, David.
Mrs. Crackle, what did she see? What did she see?
That will be all, Marie. Good night. Oh. Alex? Alex, are you asleep yet?
You called me, Catherine?
Yes, I was wondering whether you were in bed yet.
No, I am not very sleepy tonight.
Oh, don't stand there in the doorway, dear. Come on in. You know, I haven't seen much of you in these last few days.
Catherine, so lovely, so young. No, it cannot be.
Come, Alex.
Thank you, my dear.
Now, you sit yourself right down here and tell me all that's happened today. Did you hear from Brudnoff? Are you going to do his concerto next week? Alex, you look so distinguished in that dressing gown. You really ought to wear it when you conduct a concert. Wouldn't that be a great sensation for the papers? The great Nadova conducts symphony in dressing gown with purple dragons on the back.
Why is she babbling so? What is she hiding?
Oh, you look very happy tonight, Catherine. What did you do this morning?
Oh, the usual things. Shopping. And then, as you know, I went to that silly Mrs. Crackle's for cocktails this afternoon.
Silly Mrs. Crackle. She's trying to discredit.
Why do you call Mrs. Crackle silly? You never have before.
I never had occasion to. But she really has more money and less brains than anyone we know. I've always enjoyed her silly prattle until today, but somehow I wasn't quite in the mood for her this afternoon.
Mrs. Crackle said, I have a very dark conservatory. I do manage to blunder in there at the wrong times.
Well, Alex, have you nothing to say?
Speaking of Mrs. Crackle, I always thought you liked the woman.
Oh, I do like her, but after the foolish thing she said...
Thing?
Yes, David Smith and I were telling funny stories to each other in the conservatory. And the woman came along and she... Oh, well, it isn't important.
It is important.
Alex, you're hurting me.
Catherine. Oh, Catherine, if I should ever lose you...
Now, remember, Joseph, everything must be in order by Saturday. Our plane leaves at midnight, you understand? Midnight.
Yes, maestro.
The luggage, all is in order?
Oh, yes, maestro. Oh, by the way, maestro, I wired Washington this morning.
Oh, so, did you cable Schumann?
Yes, maestro. I said you would be pleased to accept his invitation to conduct the Philharmonic, and that you expected to be in Buenos Aires not later than the 1st of September.
Excellent, Joseph, excellent. This is a little surprise for my wife. She does not know where to stop off in Argentina. So, surprises are good for wives, eh, Joseph?
But not for husbands.
Why did he say that?
What do you mean, Joseph?
I simply was making a joke, maestro.
The man is hiding something from me. Smith, my wife.
I do not like poor jokes, Joseph.
I'm very sorry, maestro.
Why is the fool sorry? What is he thinking? What does he know?
Is there anything else, maestro?
No, nothing at all. Joseph.
Yes, maestro?
Why did you say... Did you mean... Oh, never mind, my car.
Yeah, your chauffeur is waiting outside, I think, maestro.
Almost made a fool of myself, even if Joseph did know.
All right, I go.
In a few days, thousands of miles between her and that Smith.
Good evening, Alex.
Catherine, you.
Come on, Alex, don't look so shocked. After all, I'm only a wife calling for her husband.
She called for me. She does care.
But Catherine, I did not expect you to call for me.
Well, the unexpected is always interesting, isn't it? Well, home we go, Alex.
My suspicions. How foolish they have been.
Well, Alex, aren't you going to say something?
Oh, I am so happy to see you. I do not know what to say. Here I did not expect to see you until I reach home, and then to find you waiting for me. Oh, my little Catherine. Next week it will be like a second honeymoon. The two of us on the plane, the quiet days.
Alex, that's why I wanted to see you. Have you the tickets yet?
No, there was some little trouble about the reservations. Joseph will have them Saturday. Why do you ask?
Alex, do you mind very much if we don't go for another month?
Not go.
I want to stay in town for at least another 30 days.
She wants to stay. It's Smith. That's Smith.
I'm sure it won't be too difficult to change the arrangements. You see, Alex, I completely forgot about the orphanage. And I simply must be here for the charity drive. They're depending on me. You do understand, don't you?
Orphanage. Smith.
Alex, didn't you hear me?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. I understand. We will make other arrangements.
Oh, you are good to me.
Good to you. Good to you. I'm a good fool.
Why don't you say something, Alex? Are you very disappointed?
No, it is not important. We will go later. Catherine, I too have something I want to tell you.
Well, this is a day of surprises.
Surprise? Joseph said the husband too can be surprised.
Well, I'm waiting. What is it, dear?
I am buying you a little present.
Alex.
There. I made her forget him already.
Drive to Tiffany's, my dear.
Tiffany? Alex Nadova, what are you up to?
Only yesterday I saw the most beautiful turquoise I have ever seen. It had the bright blueness of your eyes. Catherine, I want you to have it.
Oh, Alex.
We will have it fitted into a ring, and you will wear it upon your finger, and perhaps when you look at it once in a while, you will think of me, your Alex.
My dearest Alex.
There, I made her happy. Oh, my Catherine, I'm an old man. There will never be another like you, and I must not lose you to anyone. No, I must not lose you.
I tell you, I cannot stand him any longer. Wolf, 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 all the time. He is not a man, he's a bear.
My dear Glickstein, you must be patient with the maestro. You know he's not himself these days.
Am I to blame if one day he goes on a vacation, then the next day he does not go on a vacation? I tell you, I am an artist, not a blacksmith. Did you hear him before?
Well,
Glickstein, he barks. You are not a violinist. You are a fiddler. A fiddler, me, Maximilian Glickstein, who for 5 years was under the great Tuscanini himself. I tell you, Joseph...
Here he comes.
Oh, yeah. Please, Joseph, don't tell him I was complaining. Please, please.
Oh, no, of course. Good evening, maestro.
Good evening, maestro. We thought you had left already.
Heads together. What were they?
No, gentlemen. No, I'm still here. Go right ahead, Glickstein.
Ahead?
Yes. Why stop at the very interesting conversation I saw you having with Joseph?
Why, I wasn't talking. I mean, nothing important.
He's frightened. What was he whispering, Catherine Smith?
Speak up, Glickstein. Why are you so nervous? What were you saying?
Maestro, was nothing at all. He was simply inquiring into the state of health of your wife.
Yeah, your wife. I heard she was not feeling well. I was asking Joseph how she felt.
It was of Catherine. They are lying. There's something about her I do not...
Yes, maestro, that is what it was. Madame Nadova.
Oh, your sudden solicitude into the state of health of my wife touches me deeply, gentlemen.
Good night, maestro. Good night, sir.
Good night, maestro.
They begin to whisper about me behind my back. Everybody whispering. Catherine and that Smith.
Operator, why do you not give me my number? I do not care if you are ringing it. Someone must be... Oh, hello. Hello, Andrews. Why in the name of the devil don't you answer the telephone? I have been ringing for an hour. Let me talk to my wife. She what? Well, where did she go? You must know. Now tell me, where did she go?
Well, what do I pay you for? Where did she go?
Good evening, sir.
Mrs. Nadova, she's in?
Oh, yes, sir, in the library, sir. Your head, sir.
She's home. Where has she been all day? Where has that Smith been all day? At the desk, writing letters. She's not heard me. What is she writing? If I could only see...
Oh, Alex.
Her hand covers the paper.
I frightened you, my dear?
No, of course not. Why should I be frightened? I was a little startled, that's all.
She is frightened. That letter under her hand, if I could...
Well, writing letters, I see.
Yes, it's just some silly correspondence.
No. Do not get up. Finish your letter.
Oh, no. It's all done. Well, how did the rehearsal go?
The letter who?
Answer me, Alex. How was the rehearsal?
Rehearsal? Oh, as usual. Your letter. I will send Andrews out to mail it.
Oh, no, Alex. It isn't that important. Well, I'll go out and tell Cook to have dinner early today. I've got a little surprise for you. Something you like.
Good.
The letter. She took it with her. Maybe on the desk. Maybe she left. No, there is nothing. The blotter. There is something on it. A word. I will hold it to the mirror. The word. It is David. David Smith. The letter is to Smith. Smith.
Yes, what?
Why, Mr. Nadeau.
Young.
I am sorry to disturb you.
Disturb me? Not at all. This is a pleasant surprise. Won't you come in, sir? Let me have your hat and coat.
Keep your hands off me.
No. I'm only going to stay a few moments.
Oh, just as you say, sir. Won't you step into my studio? You'll have to pardon the looks of the place, but you can't expect much better from a man who lives alone.
Alone? My wife?
Oh, there we are. You know, sir, this is the first time I've ever been alone with you. Of course, I see Mrs. Nadeau.
See my wife quite often, I understand.
Yes. I don't know why she wastes her time with me, but I guess I amuse her.
He laughs at me.
How about a drink?
I must be sure. That desk there, letters.
I said, how about a drink, sir?
Yes, that would be fine.
Great. Have a chair. I'll be back in a moment.
The desk. One letter. One letter, and I would know. What is this? A ring. The turquoise ring I gave her. She gave it to him. Oh, God, I've lost her. No, I cannot lose her.
Patience, sir. I'll be right out.
I must go. Get the revolver. Then I must kill.
Maestro, what are you doing back here at this hour?
Joseph, you have a revolver?
Why, yes.
You showed it to me once. Remember that Luger, your army revolver?
Oh, yes, maestro.
Get it for me, I say.
But maestro, the...
A dog. I have to shoot a dog.
I didn't know you had a dog, maestro.
My wife, she has a dog.
I understand. And it is sick, huh? Is it a young dog, maestro?
A young dog.
Why, Mr. Nadeau, where did you go? I came back with the drinks and... Mr. Nadeau, is something wrong?
A revolver in my pocket.
I said, is there something wrong, Mr. Nadeau?
What can be wrong?
Oh, I'm glad to hear that, sir. When I came out there before and found you gone, I couldn't imagine what had happened. I never saw a better disappearing act in my life.
Soon he would stop laughing.
Do you mind telling me what happened?
I was called away.
Well, you're not going to disappear again without a drink, are you, sir?
This time I'm not leaving so quickly. We will finish our business.
Business? That word sounds foreboding.
Why do I stand here talking to him with a gun in my pocket?
I'll take your coat if you don't mind. This time I'll hide it so you won't get away so easily.
He is young. Many women would love him. He should have left her to me.
What'll it be, sir?
A bullet between your eyes.
Did you say something? I didn't quite hear you.
Drink with him? Why not? It will be his last.
Whiskey and soda.
Oh, fine. Here you are, sir. It's not very good whiskey, but it's all I can afford right now. Next time you call on me, I expect to do better.
The ring in that drawer. You expect to do better.
Aren't you going to drink it, sir?
Drink? Yes. Yes, I shall drink.
To death.
And I'll drink with you a toast to your beautiful wife. Your glass.
I'll kill him now. I'll...
Mr. Nadeau, what's wrong? Your face is...
Open the door. Let her in.
Her?
You fool, don't stand there. Let her in.
Well, sure.
Well, David Smith, how long do I have to stand here ringing your doorbell?
Catherine,
I have a little surprise for you.
Alex, what in the world are you doing here?
Her lover. She will see him die.
Alex, you're looking so strangely, darling. Don't you feel well?
I think you ought to sit down, Mr. Nadeau.
Well, Alex, what's wrong? Here, sit down. Alex, you're not well. Why didn't you come straight home?
Her hand's on me. Lying hands.
Water, David. Get some water.
Yes.
Alex, what is it? Shall I call a doctor? What's wrong?
When he comes back with the water, standing over
me. Oh, Alex, say something.
What does it say?
David, hurry up with that water.
I'll be there in a second.
In a second, he will stand over me. The bullet must not move.
Hurry, David.
Yes. Yes, hurry, David.
Oh, my poor Alex, I'm so glad I came here to David's. If it weren't for that ring, I never would have come, and I'd never have known how sick you are.
Ring?
Yes, the turquoise ring, dear, the one you gave him.
Tell me.
Well, the stone loosened in the setting, so I asked David to take it down and get it fixed. And then I stopped to get it. Oh, David, bring that water.
She didn't give him the ring. I was wrong. I was...
Here, Mr. Nadeau, drink this.
Careful, David, you're spilling the water on
him. Oh, I'm sorry.
Wrong.
Wrong? What's wrong, Alex? What are you saying?
You do love me, Catherine. You really love me.
Oh, Alex, if anything should happen to you, I... Well, David Smith, don't stand there like a fool. Go get a doctor.
She calls him a fool. She loves me.
Oh, Alex, you're trembling. You are ill. Oh, my darling, if I hadn't come here this afternoon, you all alone with that bungling David, it's awful to think of what might have been. Alex. The river. What?
What might have been?
Well, Mr. Obler, what might have been?
Potent words, Frank. What might have been? Say, for instance, that someone had given that unhappy little Austrian house painter named Adolf the job of painting a roof. And he'd fallen off and landed right in...
Yes, I see what you mean.
Frank, would you like to hear about the bees and the flowers?
Well...
All right. Well, once upon a time, there was an old man whose greatest pleasure in life was to take his neighbors on a pleasant little Sunday trip to the woods nearby. He'd explain to them all about the bees and the flowers and the birds. But one day on this course in nature study, the birds and the bees were forgotten. But as usual, that's next week.
Yes, tune in next Tuesday again for Arch Obler's story, Nature Study.
Lights Out, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 15th of June, 1943, an NBC broadcast. Wrapping up this hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday, be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.